And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. We're going to start with open talk today. We do have guests who will be joining us a little bit later on the program, including writer Peter Golden, who has a new book of historical fiction. It's fascinating. It ties together the aftermath of World War II, the Cold War, and even some of the refugee crisis that's going on around the world today. So we'll talk with Peter Golden a little bit later. And also today, we're going to talk a little golf with golf pro Rob McClellan, who's now at Oakview outside of Slippery Rock. And he's had pretty good success on the local PGA Tour as well, the Tri-State PGA. So we'll talk with Rob McClellan about golf and Oakview, and for those of you who play golf or if you're just ready for spring, that'll be fun to talk about. Springtime temperatures are going to be arriving in a few days. A little bit better today than yesterday. In fact, we had at least three straight days where we never got out of the mid-30s. The high in Butler yesterday was 35. The high on Sunday was 36. Normal highs are close to 60. So obviously we're not just below normal, way below normal. But that's starting to change a little bit as temperatures will push today, probably into the low end of the 40s. Tomorrow, 50. 60s, perhaps well up into the 60s on Thursday. And hang on, 70s are predicted. Both Friday and Saturday afternoon, that seems almost unimaginable that we could recover so quickly, but we're not complaining about it, that's for sure. Open talk at 283-2525, 283-2525. Well, Mark Zuckerberg appearing before a congressional hearing today, a joint hearing, in fact, of the Senate Judiciary and Commerce Committees and a House panel tomorrow. And probably no coincidence that in advance of his testimony before Congress, Zuckerberg and Facebook sent out a mass email arriving to affected Facebook customers, and there are millions of them, concerning the Cambridge Analytical data breach. That company gathering personal information from 87 million Facebook users around the world. Are you on Facebook? Are you? Well, obviously, millions of Americans are. Does it concern you, this data mining breach by Cambridge Analytica? Apparently, the people who were affected, most of their information, the information about them on Facebook, hacked, stolen. Zuckerberg testifying before Congress today. So if you're a Facebook user, does this concern you, or do you just brush it off? A lot of people that are quitting Facebook in the wake of these revelations, saying, I really don't want any part of it anymore. 283-2525 is our number. Also in the news today, possible U.S. military action against Syria. And the president of Syria, Assad. I don't know. Mixed feelings about this myself. I understand that there were atrocities purportedly committed by the Assad regime using chlorine gas on a neighborhood near Damascus, stronghold of rebels. The Russians say they investigated and they didn't find any evidence of the use of poison gas, chlorine gas. The United States says differently. I don't know. That civil war, it just seems that we have gotten involved in civil wars around the world so many times. And it almost always leads to trouble, you know? I don't know. Especially in the Middle East. Man, it's been nothing but trouble over there for decades for the United States. And sometimes I think the best thing we could do in the long run is just to leave them alone. Let them sort out their own problems and difficulties. Now, I understand there have been civilian deaths. At least that's the report from this latest incident over the weekend. But who knows? I mean, do we have definitive, guaranteed word that this actually happened? Or that it, I don't know. I don't know. President Trump last night with his military leaders were assembled in the cabinet room. And he spoke to reporters for several minutes before their meeting and said that the U.S. would respond and respond forcefully to the latest incident in Syria. I don't know. Would that do anything if we fired some rockets into Syria? I don't know. We have ships that are capable of doing that in the eastern Mediterranean. They can launch guided missiles. I'm just not sure what it would accomplish. We faced the same situation in Iraq. There were a lot of people who said back at the time, what are we going in there for? And admittedly, Saddam Hussein was a bad guy. The dictator in Iraq, but look at the mess it is now. It has been. And in Afghanistan, the same thing. We're mired in there. We have U.S. troops in Syria right now, too, by the way. A couple of thousand of them. Trump said just within the past couple of weeks he was going to be pulling them out. The White House is denying that announcement was in any way related to the most recent chemical attack, chlorine gas attack. I don't know. It's just a mess, huh? It's just a mess. When you start meddling in someone else's civil war, I wonder. Now, if this would pose an immediate threat to the United States, that's a different story. But does it? I don't know. One wonders whether... Surely we don't want to get into a shooting war in Syria. And that's what some folks fear might happen. So we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. Meanwhile, the president facing another problem, and that's the fact that the FBI seized files from his lawyer yesterday in early morning raids at his office at a hotel where he's been staying and while his permanent residence is being remodeled and at the permanent residence as well. They seized all sorts of files and computers and phones and everything else from Michael Cohen, the longtime personal lawyer of the president. And Trump spoke out against that last night as well in that brief address to reporters, calling it again a witch hunt, calling it a threat to democracy, a threat to the United States. I don't know. Is he saying that the whole FBI is corrupt? Sometimes I think his statements are more of a threat to the democracy of the United States than and the FBI doing its job. Who knows where that's going to end up? But it seems to get closer and closer to the White House. So we'll see how that shakes down over the next few days or a few weeks. Who knows? Who knows what's next there? President Trump still has his supporters, not only many of the people who voted for him, but others who have made statements. I get regular email from a group called Americans for Limited Government, And, well, let me tell you what their latest email was here this morning. The president of Americans for Limited Government, Rick Manning, today issued a statement following the raid by FBI agents. Quote, Special Counsel Robert Mueller's desperate FBI raid on the home and office of President Donald Trump's attorney, Michael Cohen, is a trivial distraction in dangerous times. The simple fact that Mueller's investigation has devolved into chasing decade-old allegations of an aging porn star points to the end of Mueller's relevance. The Attorney General should immediately fire Rod Rosenstein and Special Counsel Robert Mueller for abusing President Trump's constitutional rights. And that's a quote from Rick Manning, the president of Americans for Limited Government. Is Donald Trump the victim here? Or the perpetrator? Who knows? 283-2525 is our number. Open talk on the program today. 283-2525. By the way, I got an email from a listener. This was several days ago. We had been talking about... what were we talking about? Oh, I know it was old-time restaurants. We got started somehow... Winkies came up in the conversation, and how there used to be a couple of Winkies franchises here in the Butler area. Well, I got an email from a listener who said, you never mentioned a Red Barn. Well, I forgot about Red Barn. Yeah, there was a Red Barn restaurant in Butler. I think it was down the West End somewhere, I'm not sure. I was never in there. But the listener sent me some background information on there was a Red Barn chain in several states, started in Ohio in the early 60s, and at its peak, Red Barn had 300 to 400 restaurants in 19 different states. All came to an end, though, in the late 1980s. I also noted that following the shutdown of its operations, most of the Red Barn buildings were converted for other uses. So I don't know whether they tore down the Red Barn here in Butler or whether it was converted. But anyway, thanks to the listener who referenced that. Restaurants that are no longer here. Winkies and Red Barn. I never had a Red Barn burger, so I'm... In fact, I don't know. I assume they sold burgers. I don't know. I was never in one. 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. I do remember that Winkie's burgers were mighty cheap, and that's why I had them on occasion way back when. It didn't taste very good either. 283-2525, our number, 283-2525, open talk. Oh, by the way, don't forget... We have a lot of great programs coming up as we go through the week, but I do want to mention especially a program on Friday. We're going to be talking about the history and the legacy of Pullman Standard here in Butler. Way back to the beginning of operations there and what Pullman was like at its peak, cranking out rail cars faster than you could count almost, and then, of course, the decline and the sudden closure of Pullman Standard. Jim Diamond will be our special guest on Friday, 12:30, and we'll be picking his brain. He's quite knowledgeable on the history and the legacy of Pullman Standard. I look forward to chatting with him a great deal come this Friday. It's open talk right now. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. Talking about hamburgers has made me a little hungry. Guess I'll be ready to eat lunch when we finish the program today. Maybe I would even wolf down a Winkie's burger. I don't think so. Hey, listen, some of the fast food hamburger places today have pretty good stuff. In fact, I see that McDonald's is going to be changing at least part of its menu to... burgers, ground meat that's never been frozen. Now, up until this point, all of McDonald's hamburgers, cheeseburgers, quarter pounders, whatever you want to get, It's all been frozen stuff, and then they thaw it out and cook it. Wendy's, however, has always used ground beef that's never been frozen. Their burgers are fresh. It does give them a little bit of a different taste. They're pretty good. Although I enjoy a McDonald's quarter pounder every once in a while as well. Burger King, I don't know. I haven't had a Burger King Whopper in ages. I have to try one of those one of these days. I remember them from the years gone by. Wonder if they're still as good. I don't know. Taste test. Fast food burgers. 283-2525, our number. We take a break. We'll be back with more here on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. Back in just a moment.
For more than 130 years, the name Concordia has meant quality care. Today, Concordia Visiting Nurses has provided high-quality, skilled nursing and a variety of therapy services to people in and around our community. Concordia Visiting Nurses is here to foster your recovery right in your own home. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
One of our other sponsors on the program today is Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center here in Butler. And that's what they do. They package your items for shipping. And it's a great convenience because, you know, anytime you have to send a package, what do? You're looking for the right size box, too big, too small. You're looking for the bubble wrap and the mailing labels and the shipping tape and all that stuff. Forget about it. Let Gone Postal Butler package your items for shipping. And you can send them any way you want, FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service, your choice. They package your items for shipping. They're at 140 Shockey Lane. That's right off Newcastle Road. Kind of right at the top of Newcastle Hill. It's right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. Here's a phone number. You can call them. Get more information on their services. 724-841-0044. 724-841-0044. Gone Postal Butler. They also offer copying service, scanning, faxing. You can even rent a temporary mailbox there if you want. They package your items for shipping. Your friendly neighborhood shipping center, Gone Postal Butler. Right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurant, just off Newcastle Road. Open talk on the program right now. 283-2525 is the number. 283-2525. Any other restaurants that you remember from years gone by that are no longer here? Winkies and Red Barn would be two of them. Kentucky Fried Chicken's still around. Yeah. They even have a new guy on TV impersonating Colonel Sanders. Not so good, I don't think. Have you seen those commercials? Yeah. You think they could get somebody to at least sound a little bit more like Colonel Sanders. He looks kind of like him. No, they're still around. And many of the other big chains, obviously, are going strong. McDonald's is the kingpin of all. They're all over the world, for goodness sakes. But in the United States, we have Wendy's. We have Burger King, home of the Whopper. And then we have a lot of restaurants that offer burgers on their menu that are pretty good, too. They're not necessarily fast food restaurants. 283-2525 is our number. Let's get to the people here today. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Well, good afternoon, Dave. In talking about the restaurants, it's not a burger restaurant that I thought about. But I haven't thought about it from this place for a long time. I believe it was in the first floor of the Tier parking garage, and the only name that comes to mind there for me, and it may be wrong, was Pappin's. Does that sound right, that there was a Pappin's, Louis Pappin or something, was the guy that ran the restaurant?
You're absolutely correct. I forgot all about that. He was from, in fact, I interviewed him once. Lou Pappin.
You've interviewed everybody on Earth once, I think.
Well, I don't think so. he was from Beaver Falls. I think that's it was a regional chain.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't nationwide. But
yeah,
that's
longer exists, does it?
I don't think so. But you're right. I remember that. I ate there a number of times in the lower section of the tier parking garage, the first tier parking garage, of course.
Yes, and you know, Butler has had restaurants come and go, with remarkable regularity. It's one of the toughest businesses, I think, to maintain and be successful. My hat goes off to some of the restaurateurs in Butler. Vince at Achilles has, even though the flagship restaurant closed a couple of years back, the pizza shop and Achilles, what they call it, Achilles North.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Achilles North.
Three little restaurants, that he's running, and Bill has the chop shop there on Main Street. He seems to have figured it out and is doing a great job with that. Some other restaurants in Butler, but there's two on Main Street that deserve a salute.
I think you're right, and that seems to be the ones that are good, at least, and they're certainly both, I've eaten at both those places many times, they're certainly good, as opposed to some of the chains which come and go, the exceptions being, the McDonald's of the world, but you've jogged my memory a little bit mentioning Pappin's. Dingbats was another one.
Oh, my, yes.
Yeah, there were. I mean, a lot of folks would remember Dingbats at the top of North Main Street Hill. It's now Rachel's, but that was a Dingbats, and that was a chain of about, I think they had about eight different locations. I know there was one down at the Waterworks Mall down near St. Margaret Hospital. I ate there once when I was doing business in that area. But they all eventually closed, and the last one that was open was the one here in Butler.
That was the last one.
That one, of course, went out of business as well. So sometimes these regional chains, you're right, that's a tough thing, you know?
Well, I mean, you take King's Restaurant. Hartley King, I believe, was a Western Pennsylvania guy that started that chain and grew it, and then he got to the point where he was ready to retire, and he was looking for buyers, and I believe there was some kind of a private equity firm out of California ended up buying King's Restaurants, and they've made some changes, and some people are not so happy with the changes in price and portion and menu.
Oops, we lost him. I'm sorry. I haven't eaten in a King's in a long time, but yeah, that franchise has been purchased. I don't know how many more of those still exist around here. 283-2525 is the number. Open talk here on the It's Your Turn program. 283-2525. Open talk. Let me see here. What am I doing on my... there we go. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn. Hello? Okay. No one on that line. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. Open talk. Restaurants that have come and gone. I like what that caller mentioned about some of the local operations. Maybe that's the key these days, Not necessarily a chain, but a local operation that's doing well and has staying power. Hmm? We are coming up on 5 minutes before 1 o'clock right now. Let's go back to the phones here. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn. Hello? Hi, this is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn. We're having some sort of a problem with the phones here today. I don't know. Pat, maybe you can check and see if you can answer those in there. Maybe it's some sort of a problem on my switchboard. I don't know. Are you lighting up in there, too? Yeah. 283-2525 is our number. I think we may have some temporary problems with our phones here. Let's see if we can go here and get a conversation. Hello, is there anyone on this line? Nope. I guess we've got some problems here with our telephone. So we'll see if we can work that out, get our engineers working on that. In the meantime, let me tell you what's coming up on the program. A little bit later, we're going to be chatting in just a few minutes, as a matter of fact, with Peter Golden, who's a journalist and now a novelist as well. And he's written it's a pretty good novel. It's a bit of a thriller, kind of historical fiction. It blends World War II, especially the days after World War II, and the start of the Cold War, and also the Holocaust. It's called Nothing Is Forgotten. And we'll be talking with Peter Golden a little bit later on the program today. Also, we're going to be chatting today about Oakview Golf Club and golf. Rob McClellan will join us. He's now at Oakview. This will be his first season there. So he's going to be stopping in to chat with us about new developments there. And we'll talk about his career as well. He's had quite a bit of success on the Tri-State PGA Tour. Not only a teacher, but a pretty good player himself. So he'll be joining us later on the program today, Rob McClellan. Temperatures are climbing. We're up close to the 40-degree mark now, and that's good news. For those of us who haven't seen 40 in several days, we've never made it out of the mid-30s here for quite a while. So a little bit better today, a little bit better still tomorrow, with temperatures expected around 50 tomorrow, and then it really warms up. Then it really gets nice. Into the 60s on Thursday, and believe it or not, into the 70s on Friday and Saturday. I know a lot of folks are saying, I'll believe that when I see it. I may be included on that list, but boy, it'll sure be nice. Coming up tomorrow, we'll be chatting with Gloria Armstrong from the Victim Outreach Intervention Center tomorrow. Who else with us tomorrow? Jonathan Valentino. And we'll be talking about spring allergies. We'll be ready for that pretty soon. And boy, if we get this warm-up that they're talking about, the grass is going to start to grow like crazy. The flowers are going to start to pop, the trees, and that's going to mean a lot of pollen. And that's going to mean problems for folks who suffer from allergies. Jonathan Valentino from Institute Hill Pharmacy will be with us. President Nick Neupower from Butler County Community College will be stopping in on Thursday. We'll have a nice sit-down chat with him on Thursday afternoon. We'll also be talking with members of the Soroptimist International Club here in Butler. And then on Friday, as we mentioned a short time ago, the history and the legacy of Pullman Standard here in Butler, as Jim Diamond joins us on Friday afternoon. So we have a lot of great things to look forward to here on the It's Your Turn program. Okay, we'll take a break, and then we'll hook up by telephone with Peter Golden. He's not here in Butler. I think he's in upstate New York, up in the Albany area, but we'll be talking with him by telephone here next on the It's Your Turn program on WISR. One of our sponsors on the program is Butler Motor Tours, online at butlerbus.com. This is a program with a rich history here in our area, more than 75 years. They've been taking folks from these parts to places near and far. So that's staying power, and that tells you that they're providing a good service. If you travel with Butler Motor Tours, it's an affordable way to get out of town for a day or two or a week or two, and it's fun. A lot of folks go with their spouse or their friends or their neighbors or their church group. Let me tell you some of the places they're going in mid-June up to Niagara-on-the-Lake and also Niagara Falls. If you've never been to Niagara-on-the-Lake, it's a beautiful, beautiful town. It's about 15, 20 miles north of the falls, right where the Niagara River flows into Lake Ontario. And it's totally different from Niagara Falls. In fact, it's hard to believe that it's that close. Beautiful, beautiful place. That is a three-day trip, June 20, 21, and 22. Get more info online at butlerbus.com, butlerbus.com. Also a trip in late June to Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Dells. How about the beautiful Finger Lakes region and Watkins Glen in south central New York? That's in early June, and that's a four-day trip up there. and also trips to the Ark Encounter just south of Cincinnati. It's a new attraction just over the Ohio River, in fact, from Cincinnati. They're taking two trips there, one in mid-June and one in early October. New York City for a Lady Liberty weekend. Two opportunities there, one in early May, another in mid-August. And there are more trips, too, even as far away as the Colorado Rockies. So how do you explore these various vacation opportunities? Well, go online to butlerbus.com. Now, that's the Butler Motor Tours website. All of their trips are there, the dates, the itinerary, the cost, and everything else, description. butlerbus.com. butlerbus.com. Got a good novel to talk about, listeners, on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest is author Peter Golden. His latest book is called Nothing Is Forgotten. Peter, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us for a few minutes here today.
Thank you, Dave.
Peter Golden is an award-winning journalist, historian, and now novelist. He's written quite a few books. Nothing Is Forgotten. Wow. Now, this is a book that actually weaves together the Cold War, World War II, even a little bit of what we're experiencing in today's world, right, Peter?
Yeah, it does, I think, to some degree, because what we're experiencing today is a mirror of what mirrors what already happened.
Mm-hmm. So the book opens in the early 1960s with your main character, Michael Daniels, or there's another name for him, right?
Misha Denov, his grandmother, his Russian grandmother calls him that. Mm-hmm. She shows up in 1948 and sort of helps to raise him, and it's sort of their story and then later her story.
So in the early 60s, Michael is he's the host of an underground radio show in New Jersey.
Well, for some reason, that seems to appeal to a lot of the radio people I've been talking to. And, of course, you remember, or maybe some of your listeners remember, when FM was the much younger, poorer sibling of AM radio, and Michael starts an FM rock and roll show and in New Jersey, in a somewhat limited area. And lo and behold, the CIA is pulling it out of the air and rebroadcasting it into the Soviet Union, in part because Michael is also fluent in Russian, mm-hmm. and he does these kinds of joke interviews with Khrushchev, and he says all these wacky things in Russian, and he plays this Russian music sometimes, and he thinks it's very funny, as do a lot of the teenagers that are listening to his music. But the CIA had a different idea, and it was a prevalent idea at the time, and that was that modern youth culture could go a long way to undermining the Soviet Union. Mm. And to some degree, I can't say it was responsible for it, but it certainly helped. And their baby boom generation was enthralled, much of it was enthralled with Western culture. I mean, Gorbachev was a Elvis fan, and Putin was a Beatles fan.
Listeners in Russia will include another character that you introduce in your novel, Yuliana Kosoy. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
You are doing great. Yes, absolutely. She's a war orphan. There were many of them after the Second World War in the Soviet Union. I think probably 40% of the 60 million people who died in World War II were Soviet citizens. And she gets involved, she's raised by sort of a foster father who's a smuggler, and then ultimately becomes involved with various intelligence agencies, and she also becomes involved. Meantime, what's going on, of course, is the Holocaust is starting to work its way into American consciousness. This is after the Eichmann trial,
mm-hmm.
because it was televised, and that's in 1961. So people are starting to become a lot more aware about the Holocaust. Certainly when they saw pictures afterward and were horrified by it. It sort of went away for about 15 years. And then it came back with a vengeance. At the same time, the Russians and Americans were fighting over these ex-Nazis. The Russians wanted to try them, and the Americans wanted to hire them. And there was some split in the American government at the time about hiring them. But they wound up hiring some awfully terrible people. And the Russians used this to great advantage by beating up on the West Germans and the Americans for allowing these people, for not trying these people.
Yes, Adolf Eichmann, who had escaped to Argentina, but was tracked down by the Mossad and eventually apprehended and tried and executed in Israel. And that really brought the Holocaust back to the minds of many people here in the United States.
Yeah. Well, I did. In fact, that's where the word Holocaust comes from. It's an American journalist, Paul Jacobs, who is looking to describe this Hebrew word, which Shoah, which means disaster or something. It's a biblical term.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have a word for it. So he uses Holocaust with a capital H. That's in 1961. That's the first time it's used. The trial, everyone focused on Eichmann, but in Ben-Gurion, who was the prime minister of Israel's mind at the time, the trial was about the survivors. It was not about Eichmann. You know, they held Eichmann for days in that house before they brought him out of the country. And they simply could have shot him. I mean, if they just wanted to execute him, they could have just shot him and walked away. But they didn't do that because they wanted this testimony. And it was the testimony that brought this to everyone's attention. It was televised. You know, they filmed it, and they shipped the film all over the world. Every day at the end of the trial, they sent the day's film out. I remember watching it as a child with my parents.
I've seen the repeats of it. I've seen the film. It's a fascinating story. Listeners, if you're joining us a little bit late on this segment of It's Your Turn, we're talking with author Peter Golden. His latest book, Nothing Is Forgotten. Now, we don't want to give away your novel, but there is a development that we mentioned the lead character, Michael Daniels, and also Yuliana Kosoy in Russia. There is a plot device that happens, and that's the sudden death of Michael's grandmother, and she was murdered, right?
Right, and he's very close to her as she winds up murdered in the family candy store, which she runs, and he has no idea why this would happen, and he becomes determined to find out. The police can't solve it, and he starts on this journey. He winds up in Munich at, I call it, Four Freedoms Radio. To some degree, it's based on Radio Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And so begins this journey that takes him into the Soviet Union, to France, to Amsterdam, out to Los Angeles, back to New Jersey, to Atlanta, all over the country, and to find out why his grandmother was murdered. And the way I saw it as a writer was this. Michael learns about the Holocaust much in the same way Americans primarily learned about the Holocaust. And so it's his revelation about both the Holocaust and what happened in the Soviet Union, and his grandmother, who was more than just she wasn't just in a concentration camp, she was involved in other ways. And it's that discovery, I think, that moves the book along. And certainly it's why you want to turn the page, to find out what the heck is going on. But that was my intention as an author. But it was heavily researched. I think in the back there are probably 10 pages of source notes. I did a lot of interviews for the book. I did certainly a lot of reading for the book.
A lot of it
is just based in fact.
Speaking of interviews, my goodness, I was looking through your biography here, and as a journalist, you have interviewed a lot of people, several presidents, Nixon, Ford, Reagan, Bush 41. You interviewed Henry Kissinger, Alexander Haig, Yitzhak Rabin, Shimon Peres. Wow, that's pretty good, Peter.
Yeah, and Gorbachev as well. I did them. I was doing a book biography of a man named Max Fisher, who was a sort of a private diplomat, and then I wrote a history of the Cold War. So I had access to these people, and I interviewed them, and it was wonderful. And if you go to my website, which is petergolden.com, you can hear excerpts from some of the interviews. I put them up, and so you can listen to them. It was a fascinating idea. It had its lighter moments. When I went to interview Richard Nixon, in those days, the tape recorder for a journalist was pretty big. It's not like the micro recorders that we have now. So I was carrying it, I was told, I guess for obvious reasons, that he had mixed feelings about being taped, and I wasn't really sure that he was going to allow me to do that, but I managed to, when he extended his hand to shake my hand, I managed to drop my tape recorder on his foot, which was not a great way to start. But he was very nice about it. He was a fascinating interview. Listening to him was like listening to history talk. It was was really something.
Was this prior to the Watergate scandal breaking open that you
No, this was this was many years afterward.
Oh, oh wow.
In fact, the subject of the interview, to some degree, was the impact that Watergate had on foreign affairs. Hmm. So, which was profound, unfortunately. So we spoke a lot about that. He by that point, he knew he had fumbled. Mm-hmm. He knew he had dropped the ball. I mean, I think he was far wiser, and I don't know that he ever lost his anger about it. I think he felt picked on, but I think he saw that he could have done something. He could have just simply fired those guys and just gotten on with it, but that the cover-up was a bad idea.
We have a few more minutes, listeners, to chat with Peter Golden, and we'll pick up our conversation with him here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
Sunnyview Nursing and Rehabilitation Center has a rich history in Butler. Now they are making continuous improvements and technological advancements to better serve the community. Sunnyview specializes in short-term rehabilitation and skilled nursing. Schedule a tour to see their beautiful facility. Call 332-6872 or visit sunnyviewcenter.com. Sunnyview Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, close to your home and close to your heart.
Confused by all the talk about a good night's sleep? There's a lot of new mattress companies, but they're all missing something. They're missing expertise. Introducing Tomorrow, the new mattress and sleep system from Serta Simmons Bedding. Tomorrow is great sleep, delivered right to your door. Learn to love your bed. Use promo code SAVE2 at tomorrowsleep.com for $200 off when spending $500 or more at tomorrowsleep.com.
It's never been more important to stay in touch with the events and issues that shape our world. And for more than 25 years, Radio Pennsylvania has been the Commonwealth's source for stories and newsmakers impacting your life. From your state capital to all corners of the Commonwealth, Radio PA's team of award-winning journalists serves as your eyes and ears on the front lines of the major events of our time. Heard all over Pennsylvania on great radio stations like this one, the Radio Pennsylvania Network, bringing you closer to Harrisburg and all of your Keystone State.
Welcome back. Chatting with author Peter Golden on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey. We're chatting about Peter's latest book, Nothing Is Forgotten. I saw this categorized by one of the testimonials as historical fiction. Do you think that's accurate, Peter? Is that how you'd categorize your book?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. But as I said, it's deeply rooted in what happened. There's some telescoping of events. You combine certain characters. You combine certain radio stations. Not all radio stations broadcast rock and roll into the Soviet Union. Some broadcast news. Some broadcast political commentary. But in the end, I'd say it's a pretty fair representation of what was going on at the time. And some of it's just pulled right out of history. The most interesting thing I learned, and I didn't know this when I started the book, was that West Germany was trying to pass a law that would have exempted all of its citizens from being tried for war crimes committed between 1933 and 1945, which was a stunning proposal, it seemed to me. Meantime, other groups are busy trying to establish memorials at the old concentration camps, which the Germans are trying to tear down. So it's a very interesting moment in American history, in German history, in history of the State of Israel. And all across the world, the Cold War sort of dragged everybody in across a whole range of issues. It wasn't just the Holocaust, of course, but it's a wonderful time, and it happens to be my lifetime. So I guess I had an extra incentive to explore it more fully instead of just simply making stuff up about it.
Well, there are hundreds and hundreds of books about World War II, but not too many who examine the impact of the war on its survivors and their descendants. And that's certainly where you focus in Nothing Is Forgotten. Did you have to do a lot of research into World War II, or were you fairly knowledgeable prior to?
I've been researching this area of history for a very long time. And what happens is, of course, is the more you learn, the more you want to learn, but you sort of have a much stronger background. You have sort of stronger background, and so you sort of know a lot more about what's going on. And you start getting into the fine points, which is where I say I discovered that law, the West German proposed law. I was stunned. I'd never read about it before. And then I went back and read even more about it, and I read newspapers' discussion of it as it was unfolding. So, yeah, I found the whole thing fascinating.
Interesting the way the Allies divided up Germany at the end of World War II, and it kind of set the stage for the Cold War, did it not? East and West Germany and Berlin divided among the four powers?
Oh, it's horrible. The whole thing is horrible. It's such a... I mean, when you look back on it, I mean, but the truth of the matter is, Stalin... the Cold War starts during the Second World War. I mean, to some degree, because they knew what Stalin was up to. He was looking to control all of Eastern Europe. And he would have been happy for the war to go on for another 2 years. He could have sucked up more territory. And we were, you know, we were exhausted. Americans didn't know what was going on. I mean, people talked about, oh, we should, Patton's famous thing, we should invade Russia. We didn't have the soldiers to invade Russia. This country was absolutely exhausted by the Second World War. I always say that that famous Eisenstadt picture of the sailor kissing the nurse,
yes,
that was one view of the end of the war, and certainly all the mothers and fathers and people having, and wives having their loved ones finally come home. But don't forget, 400,000 people died in that war, in Americans, more. And they were here, too. They're survivors. Also, all of these wounded soldiers came home. Also, we had a whole new world very shortly, a world in which both we and Stalin had the atom bomb. And so to look to go back and fight again, as we did again in Korea, there is something exhausted about the United States that we don't talk about, but becomes more obvious in retrospect. Underneath all of the financial expansion, underneath all of the new suburbs and the baby boom, but there was something else going on, and we don't really get a good look at it until after the Vietnam War. It takes a while for history often to play out. It doesn't play out in headlines. It plays out in records, in dusty records, not in headlines. And it's one problem Americans have in understanding history. They want to know what's going on today. Well, what's going on today has maybe a lot more to do with what was going on 25 years ago.
Let's talk about some of the parallels from post-World War II to today, actually during and post-World War II. We had thousands of refugees. We see that today in several different parts of the world, most recently in Syria.
Right, and you see it was a large part as early as... early in 1945, shortly before he died, FDR was trying to talk people into creating a Jewish state, because they knew they were going to have all of these refugees wandering around Europe. And in fact, he went on Valentine's Day in 1945, so it's only a couple of months before he died. He went and met with the King of Saudi Arabia and tried to talk him into supporting the idea. He didn't get very far with it. But they knew what was going on, and it wasn't later until all of these Jewish refugees were kept in the camps. Some of them were wearing SS soldiers' uniforms in these concentration camps. That's where they were housed. And that appeared in the New York Times. Harry Truman was president, and that appeared in the New York Times. People became outraged about it. Like, how can you keep these people in these camps? Meantime, of course, the British knew that their time was coming to an end in the Middle East, and they were not happy about it, particularly in what was then known as Palestine. And and so there was a lot. There was the seeds of that conflict were being sown at the same time all this other stuff was going on.
Yeah, and for people not familiar with the birth of Israel, it was not pain free. There were a lot of labor pains. a lot of people died in Palestine as they were trying to create the Israeli state.
And a lot of Americans in the political class and the State Department opposed the founding of the Jewish state. What's so interesting is Stalin supported it. And what's fascinating is Gromyko gives a speech at the UN when it was still at the skating rink. It was in a skating rink in Queens. Some people think that's where it should have stayed. But gave up, and he said, because the Jews were almost wiped out by this. They need a state where they can be safe. He gave that speech, and Golda Meir, the former prime minister of Israel, in her memoirs, and she didn't particularly care for the Russians. She was born in Kiev in Ukraine, and her parents ran away from the pogroms there, said that she felt it was this moment in time when Soviets because of what had happened to them in the war, had this enormous sympathy for what had happened to the Jews. And they had this brief moment where they fully supported the establishment of the state. It's a very interesting moment in history. It doesn't last very long. But that's also a piece of this. Not so much a piece of this story, but I always found that rather interesting.
You've enlightened me in a number of areas, Peter Galton. I didn't realize that, and it's so ironic because Stalin at the same time was ramping up the Cold War. I also didn't know. I mean, I knew that FDR went to Yalta. I didn't know that he met with the leaders of Saudi Arabia. That's fascinating.
Yeah, King Ibn Saud, he met him. And it's a very poignant conversation, actually. And he says to him, he tries to talk Ibn Saud into this, and he said, Arabs will never accept that state. And Roosevelt, and he says, and not because they're Jews, but because they're Europeans. And Roosevelt pressed him and said, but they have nowhere to go. And he said to him, that was very interesting, he said, and they're frightened of staying in Europe. And Ibn Saud said to Roosevelt, well, an Arab king would never allow that to happen. He would never allow a defeated enemy to threaten the winners again. To some degree, I think he might be right, and certainly in his view, in his time. But it's a really, and you can find it on the web, it's a wonderful conversation. It's very sad, really sad, because what he said is, why is this going to happen to us? And they really had nothing to do with it, to some degree. And I think they were wrong. I think they should have. There were Arab leaders who would have welcomed, who did welcome the Jewish state for the very fact that they were Europeans and they felt this would have a modernizing influence. But, of course, Saudi Arabia wasn't one of those states that supported that. Yes. However, it is a really interesting, it's a very murky time. It's a time filled with lots of fear, McCarthy and the rest. It's a very interesting time in American history. I think the most interesting decade of my life, to be sure.
And a very interesting novel, listeners. The title is Nothing Is Forgotten by Peter Galton, and it's been our pleasure to chat with him. Peter, I could talk with you for another hour, so I'm sorry we don't have any more time here today.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure to talk to you, Dave, and anytime. You know where I am.
And you said you have a website, too. Can you repeat that for us, please?
Yeah, petergalton.com, just my name. PeterGalton.com, and you find all kinds of stuff there. I've been writing about my family lately, about why I wrote this book. I've been writing, I have all my number of articles up that I've published, other books, interviews with world leaders. There are some taped excerpts. So,
well, nice to chat with you today, Peter. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks again, Dave.
Sure. Peter Galton, WISR, interesting man. His other novels, by the way, are entitled The Comeback Love, Wherever There Is Light. And he's also written a number of other articles and papers, of course, starting out as a journalist. Nothing Is Forgotten. Fascinating for me. Well, World War II is always fascinating, but the aftermath of World War II and how survivors of either the Holocaust or else just survivors of the war, how they were able to cope during those post-war years. Interesting, huh? And, of course, the story of Adolf Eichmann. Folks, if you're not familiar with that, there is a wonderful book. In fact, I was sharing that with some guests, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago here on the program. The House on Garibaldi Street is the name of a marvelous book, and this is not historical fiction. This is the true story of the location of Adolf Eichmann, how the Israelis found him living under another name in Argentina, and then how they apprehended him and spirited him out of the country. And, I mean, it reads like a novel. It's that good. the Israelis knew that the Argentinian government at the time, and this is in the early 60s now, they're still tracking down war criminals from World War II. They knew that the Argentinian government would not allow them to take Adolf Eichmann out of the country, to deport him. And so they had to devise a way to sneak him out once they determined that it was really him. And they sent numerous spies in to photograph him, take a look at him, talk with some of the people that he worked with. I think he was working at an auto plant or something like that, until they were absolutely sure that this was him, that this was Adolf Eichmann. And then they started to chart his daily routine, how he would come home from work and what street he would walk down after getting off the bus and so on and so forth. And that's how they devised a plan to apprehend him. And what the Israeli Mossad did was there was some sort of an Olympic or pre-Olympic competition going on in Argentina at the time. And they disguised a number of Mossad agents as athletes, Israeli athletes. And they flew into Argentina on an Israeli plane. Of course, they weren't really athletes. And then they snatched, they had already snatched Adolf Eichmann. And they drugged him and took him back to Israel whenever the so-called athletes left. The Argentinians never knew it. And then they put him on trial. And it was a televised trial, televised all over the world, and he was found guilty of war crimes and executed. Fascinating story. The House on Garibaldi Street is the name of that book, if you're interested in reading it. I've read it two or three times, as a matter of fact. And Peter Golden's book, Nothing is Forgotten, just published, by the way. In fact, just published this week. Perfect timing with the Holocaust Remembrance Day, which is tomorrow. Okay, we take a break. Reminder coming up in just a moment or so, we're going to be chatting with Rob McClellan, local golf pro. On tomorrow's program, Gloria Armstrong will be with us from the Victim Outreach Intervention Center. We'll talk with the president of Butler County Community College, Dr. Nick Neupower, on Thursday, and Jim Diamond will be visiting with us in the studio on Friday. We'll be discussing the history and the legacy of Pullman Standard. And what a story that is, dating all the way back to around 1900, I believe. I'm not that familiar with the history of Pullman Standard either. So that's coming up on Friday, starting at 12:30. Really looking forward to that conversation. We'll take a break. We'll come back to meet and talk with Rob McClelland here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these messages.
Recovery starts with a call. Pennsylvania's Prescription Drug and Heroin Addiction Hotline is staffed by real people who are trained to help. They're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They'll get you or your loved one into treatment, regardless of your access to insurance. If you or someone you know is suffering from addiction, call 1-800-662-HELP.
I'm glad you called. We're going to get you some help.
Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
Trout fishing is tradition in Pennsylvania. It's the thrill of the catch and spending quality time with family and friends. But most of all, fishing is fun. Get your gear together and visit GoneFishingPA.com today to get your annual or multi-year fishing license and vouchers from the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission. Opening day for trout season is Saturday, April 14th throughout Pennsylvania. Reel in the memories and reel in the fun. Get your fishing license now at GoneFishingPA.com.
Welcome to your standard junkyard. What do you want?
Hi, I'm looking for an alternator for my 2009 truck.
I'm sure there's something out there. Sign this waiver that states we're not responsible for product effectiveness or injury in the yard. And no, there isn't any order out there, so check each row. Next!
When your vehicle needs a new or used part, go see Millich Auto Wrecking. Their inventory is neatly organized, and they are committed to finding the part you need without the hassle. Open Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5 on Route 38 on Nata Valley Road. Just look for the big black and red sign for Millich Auto Wrecking.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to welcome our next guest into the studio. He is local golf pro, Rob McClellan, and I've been looking forward to chatting with him since we were able to book his appearance here. Rob, nice to have you here today.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate you having me on.
And the timing is pretty good because finally, our weather is changing. It's going to take another day or so, but we're going to have springtime weather. We're going to have golfing weather here before too much longer, huh?
Yeah, finally. It looks like Friday, Saturday is going to be mid-70s, so time to get the clubs out.
I'm ready for that. Yeah, I'm ready for that. So we want to talk a little bit about, first of all, your new position. You're at Oakview Golf Club now, right outside of Slippery Rock.
Yes. Just started there April 1st officially. I'm just helping them with membership, some advertising. I'm going to be doing a junior golf program up there, helping them, doing some teaching. I'll be doing some club fitting and some merchandising and helping them run some golf tournaments.
Will you be giving lessons as well, Rob, up there?
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be one of my main roles is, you know, teaching and, you know, offering some instruction to anybody that's looking for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I may have to take advantage of your services, as I'm a longtime member at Oakview myself. So,
okay.
Nice to have you there. You have also had quite a bit of success on the Tri-State PGA Tour. Are your new responsibilities going to leave you any time to play?
Yeah, I should be able to get out on Mondays. The schedule's pretty clear on Mondays, so mm-hmm. local Tri-State events are always on Mondays, and you know they keep them that way. A lot of the local clubs, the private clubs, are closed Mondays, but Oakview's open 7 days a week, as you know. Mm-hmm. So I'll be able to get away and on Mondays and you know still play in the local events.
I did not know. Rob and I had a chance to chat for a minute or so during the break there when we were getting him mic'd up and ready to go. I didn't realize that you had played at Oakview in earlier years, in years gone by.
Yeah, I got my start probably around when I was 10, 1990. I started playing up there and played there for a good 12, 13 years as a junior member.
Mm. Oakview, of course, was once Armco Country Club when it was owned by the steel plant, Armco. When that became AK Steel, then it was sold to private interests and renamed Oakview.
Yep, Oakview Golf Club in 2004.
So now you're kind of returning to your roots in a way, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of where I got started. So I'm excited about the opportunity and to be back up there. I got a lot of great memories, and it's a great place, as you know, to get away and play.
I tell you, for a semi-private club, I don't know whether you can beat it in Western Pennsylvania. I've taken guests up there to play with me, and the first thing they marvel at is the fairways.
Yeah, they do. They spend a lot of their money that they allot on the fairways and the greens, and that's the most important part of the golf course. And you want to have good fairways and good greens and good tees. And I know Jesse, the general manager up there, that's what he focuses on and wants to make sure that we present. So when we do have people come play, they want to come back.
Well, good greens are essential. Oakview has had as long as I've been there, they've had fantastic greens, fast and true, but. Some other places that have pretty good greens. The fairways, though, are manicured just like a top-notch private club.
Absolutely. I mean, people hear the word semi-private, and they think that they can't come play. I mean, it's all open to the public. Anybody that wants to come play, they're more than welcome to come see the golf course and just pay the daily fee, too. So it's a great opportunity to get up there and see it.
Do you know, can you still get memberships for this year if you were so inclined?
Absolutely, yeah. We're running some promos now. Just trying to, it's probably the most affordable golf membership that I know of in the Western Pennsylvania. I think right now we're at $7.95 for the entire year for an individual golf membership. And you can play as much golf as you want for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a pretty good price these days.
Yeah, absolutely. For the quality of course that you're getting. So it's a great opportunity, and there's great opportunities for families too. If you have kids under 13, we don't even charge them to play golf. So if you have a couple kids and you want to join, you can get a family membership for $7.95 if you have two or three kids under the age of 13.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Jesse. Jesse Horner is the general manager there. Who came to Oakview from Old Stonewall, I believe.
Jesse was at Old Stonewall when it opened in 98, I believe he was there. And that's where I got to know him. I actually worked for him at Old Stonewall for 6 years.
Hmm. Well, I knew him before you did. How about that? I have a little bit of a connection, too. Jesse Horner's hometown was...
Foxburg?
Well, close. A small village known as Dutch Hill. It's only a few miles from Foxburg.
Okay.
But that's where he played, and that's where I played when I was in high school and even in undergraduate school. And
at
so
Foxburg Country Club you played.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, Jesse was a little bit younger than most of us who played together, and remained so, by the way. But he tells me he can remember the first couple of times he was invited to play with, you know, a couple of the slightly older guys. And all we could do was kind of just shake our heads in admiration, because you could see even at a young age, he had the swing of a golfer, you know. He had the swing that most of us would die for. And he went on then to Slippery Rock University.
Yeah.
He played on the golf team at Slippery Rock, and then in a variety of positions as an assistant pro. And then he's been at Oakview now for, must be, 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, since 2010, I believe, is when he started. So this is probably his eighth or ninth season.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was because of my association with him and the fact that I knew him that I ended up there as well. He's a good guy.
Absolutely, yeah. Looking forward to a good season with him.
So is it open to members yet? Has the weather resulted in a little bit of a delay in getting the golf course ready to go?
It's delayed a little bit, but the golf course is open 12 months of the year for members. You know, if you're a member, you can play anytime. You know, I think they leave the pins in all year. So if you get a day in December or even January where there's no snow and you want to go out and play, you know, it's open for members all year long. And I know that I talked to him this morning, and I think tomorrow, weather cooperates, they're going to get out and try to get the greens mowed a little bit and, you know, get ready for the weekend, since it's supposed to be pretty nice.
I had several farmers on the program yesterday talking about some local farm issues, and one of our guests, Ken Metrick, said, just wait. When it warms up, and it's going to warm up immensely this weekend, he said, that grass is going to start growing like crazy because we've had a lot of moisture, and it's ready to go. It can't wait to get started.
Oh, yeah.
So they'll be mowing the greens already. Huh?
That's what they're talking, you know, that get out and get that first mow of the season and change the cups, and you know, hopefully get some place Friday and Saturday.
There is a danger of allowing people on a course too early when it thaws out. Now, if you want to play in December, January, when the ground's frozen, good luck to you. I've done it, believe it or not. But once it really starts to thaw and get mushy, there's a danger. You need to let it dry out enough that it's safe to walk on, right?
Yeah, you definitely have to watch the frost. You know, I mean, there are some concerns whenever.
What's frost do? I hear that all the time. Don't go on the greens until the frost is gone.
Yeah, what can happen is if you get out and walk on the fresh frost, and it basically turns your footprints brown or black, you know, where you walked.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of places, that's why they keep it closed. I mean, especially on the greens and the fairways, you know, if you're walking in the rough, stuff like that's not that big of a deal. But the tight mowed areas, you know, is always a concern. You know, if you walk on it too early before the green thaws, that it will leave footprint marks. And sometimes it helps, you know, could kill the grass.
Well, we've certainly had frosty mornings thus far in April. I was watching the TV news last night, and the weather forecaster said it has snowed every day so far in April. 9 straight days. Now, we had a couple of accumulating snows, but other days, well, yesterday was a good example. It just wouldn't stop snowing. Steady, light snow all day long. So, and this morning we were like 23 degrees here in the city of Butler, so we've had our share of heavy frost even this late into April.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been a slow start, and hopefully it's a long summer. Maybe we'll have some nice weather into November, December this year to make up for it.
Let's hope so. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about life as a golf professional. Do you, we should make a distinction here for some of our listeners who are not familiar with this. There are two types of golf professionals. There are the men and women we see on TV. I'll call them the touring pros, just for lack of a better term. And then we have the local professionals at clubs, in your hometown or your home region. And they are oftentimes teaching pros. So is that a good description of the two different types?
Yeah, that's a very good description. You know, your touring pros are your guys that, you know, go off to Q school or, you know, come out of college and have aspirations of playing golf, you know, on the tour. You know, there's many tours that you can go play on, but the guys you see on TV have made it through Q school and qualified to play, and that's what they do for a living, is they play every week. Then you have your local club pros, you know, we refer to, which, you know, are members of the PGA of America.
Mm-hmm.
And most of your club pros are members of the PGA, with 28,000, you know, men and women that are members. It's one of the largest largest associations in the world.
Didn't realize there were that many.
Yeah, 28,000 worldwide PGA professionals, and those are your local club pros that teach and grow the game and run tournaments and everything they can to kind of keep the game of golf growing.
And there's one tournament where a few of those people get to play. That's the PGA, right? The last major tournament of the year. Don't they usually include some professionals in there?
We have a local section, the tri-state section, which is comprised of Western Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and a little bit of Maryland. And we have our section championship, and we'll get 100 players that show up for our section championship, and we might get four or five spots, and it'll move on to what we call as our national club professional championship, and there'll be 240 guys across the country that make it, to the national championship. And since the PGA hosts the PGA championship, they'll give us 20 spots. So you have 20 club pros that get to play in the last major of the season, in usually in August. And it this year, I believe they're at Bell Reef out in St. Louis.
Yeah. They're also going to be moving the PGA, I guess. It's going to move to May.
Yeah, it's going to be the first major in the season. They're going to reroute the schedule a little bit. They were conflicting with having it in August when football season's starting. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, when they do the golf playoffs, on Sundays, a lot more people are watching football. So this will give the guys a break. The touring pros, you'll see them. They start in October for the following season.
Yeah.
So this will actually give them a little bit of a break. They'll finish the last tournament, which would be probably the British Open, which would be in July.
I think that starting in October is goofy to begin with, and I'm a golf fan, and I get confused by it.
Oh, yeah, the way the season.
People that aren't say, what the heck are they doing here? It doesn't make any sense. I like the fact that they're going to have a major event for several months in a row once they move the PGA, and I think that's next year. I think they move it.
Yeah, I think they're moving it to April, and they're going to move the Players' Championship, which they consider the fifth major, to
March, I think.
Yeah, so they'll go March, April, May, June, July.
The Players, the Masters, the PGA, and the U.S. Open, and then the Open Championship. So
yep.
It'll be one every month. That's good. That's much better schedule.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Much better schedule. Have you ever attempted to play in the National Club Pro playoffs?
I've got to play in it a couple years. I'm actually qualified last year again, so I'm heading out to Seaside, California, which is real close to Pebble Beach in June. So we have that tournament. Again, we were out there, I think, in 2012 or 13, so going back to a course that I've played. And I've had a little bit of success. I've played in probably seven National Club Pros, and I finished in the top 20 twice. So I've got a chance in 2010 and 2011 to play in the PGA Championship.
Wow, that must have been a thrill, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. It's kind of the highlight of my career, getting to go out and play with the guys that do it for a living.
I didn't realize when I asked you that question that you had actually made it the whole way twice.
Yeah, twice, 2011, or 2010, 2011.
Now, do you remember where those PGA championships were played?
Absolutely. 2010 was at Whistling Straits.
Mm-hmm. It's up in Minnesota?
It's Wisconsin? Wisconsin, yeah, up in Wisconsin. That's where DJ Dustin Johnson put his golf bag into the bunker and, was that controversy. And, that was a great place to go and play. In 2010, I had a chance to go to the Atlanta Athletic Club for my second year. So.
Uh-huh. That's been the site of FedEx Championships for many, many years, too. Wow. So I can't imagine playing with those guys. To me, when I go to a tournament, for example, the U.S. Open's been at Oakmont two or three times now that I remember that I've been there, it's a thrill just to stand next to those guys on a tee, but actually playing with them. I'd be so nervous I don't think I could stand up.
Yeah, it's definitely nerve-wracking. I know the first tee shots were nervous, but once you get going, it's just like any other tournament. But a lot more people there watching.
Yeah. I can remember the first time I saw the late Seve Ballesteros at Oakmont. I can remember exactly where I was standing. I wanted to get a good look at him. So I went ahead, before he would be reaching that hole, and I kind of worked my way right up to the back of the tee box, and he came up. What charisma that guy had, just the way he walked, He strode onto the tee, and he hit a ball that I swear to goodness, it went out about 150 yards and then started to climb, like a fighter jet. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, back in the day when the probably using persimmon woods, you know, and when the balls spin more, that's the way they went. They went low, and then they rose at the end.
Hmm. So, as a golf professional, did you watch the Masters this past weekend?
Almost every bit of it. Yeah, I like to record it and then watch it in the evenings. But, yeah, I got to watch pretty much every shot.
It's the only tournament that I watch every day. I admire the Open Championship. I usually watch a good bit of that, especially if it's at a course like St. Andrews or something like that. But the Masters, because of where it comes in the year, we're all itching to play golf here in the northern half of the country. Plus, the beauty of Augusta is just overwhelming. That's the one tournament I watch every day.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Like you said, I mean, this time of the year, there's not as much going on. You know, a lot of times when the British Open or the U.S. Open on in the middle of summer, we're busy. But, you know, that's the one time, usually the week after Easter, we get a chance to have a little bit of time to watch it. And, and like you said, just getting excited about golf season starting, especially in this area.
Yeah.
And I just love watching the Masters.
So what did you think about the winner? I don't think too many people would have picked him, huh?
Yeah, I like Patrick Reed. I think he played very well. I think he was well deserving of it, and I always like seeing new winners, guys mm-hmm. that have never won before and them coming through, and Ricky being right there too. He's been knocking on the door a few times, and a lot of people I know were pulling for him. But it was good. The Americans came on strong there that finished 1-2-3.
Ricky Fowler was one back. Jordan Spieth was
two back.
Back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what a run he made.
Oh, absolutely.
After being counted out on Sunday, he came back, shot 64. Bogeyed the last hole.
Bogeyed the last hole, yeah.
Yeah. So much for his slump, huh? Yeah. I understand from what I've been reading, though, that Patrick Reed is not particularly well-liked among the other professionals. Some of those guys seem to be buddy-buddy, like Fowler and Spieth, or Spieth and Justin Thomas, but Patrick Reed kind of off by himself from what I understand, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've heard that a couple times, but, it's...
His style, he's a little pugnacious,
Yeah,
he celebrates maybe a little bit too much after he makes a birdie putt or something like that, and might get under people's skin a little bit.
Oh, yeah, he made a comment a couple years ago saying that he's, one of the best golfers in the world, and that was before people even knew who he was. And, for him to be able to now win the Masters, I think he's... A lot of people gave him a lot of grief for that statement, so, you got to give him credit, for what he did. Now he's, kind of proving people wrong.
Yeah, and he never trailed after making 9 birdies on Friday. He was a leader, a co-leader the rest of the way.
Yeah, and he grew up, or went to college at Augusta State, which I don't know if he's got to play, Augusta before, when he was in college. But, he said it was more of like a hometown match for him.
I just read, there was an article in today's Post-Gazette, and by Jerry Dulac, I assume, I'm not sure, I didn't see the byline, but it said he played here in western Pennsylvania when he was a kid. His dad had moved here, his job changed, and his dad moved to western Pennsylvania. He was like 7 years old, and he played at Diamond Run.
Oh, really?
For several years, yeah. I mean, there were people there who said, gosh, what a swing for a 7-year-old kid, but... He was there for several years, kind of honed his game there, and then rest is history, I guess.
Yeah.
We're chatting with Rob McClellan, a golf pro, now at Oakview Golf Club, just outside of Slippery Rock. Let's talk a little bit more about Oakview. We need to take a quick break here, though, so let's do that, and we'll talk a little bit more about Oakview when we come back. You're listening to It's Your Turn on WISR, and we will be back right after these words.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 770. The pick 3 is 089. The pick 4 is 0466. Pick 5, 44840. Wild ball for each of those is 0. The treasure hunt is 5, 10, 13, 15, 24. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $45,000.
Z. Central Electric Cooperative understands the importance of teaching electrical safety. Our free safety programs for adults and youth demonstrate electrical dangers. Our Safety City program is geared toward youth and can be brought to any organization, event, or school. It shows how to avoid everyday dangerous electrical situations. We offer live high-voltage demonstrations at our headquarters in Parker for both adult and youth organizations. We also have a first responders electrical hazards training. First responders know emergencies can involve electric lines and equipment and are likely to be first on the scene. Our program helps them identify and handle situations involving electrical equipment and stay safe. Contact us today to schedule your free presentation. Together, we can save lives and prevent potentially hazardous electric-related situations. This is Renee Tritton for Central Electric Cooperative. Our tradition is to service. Our responsibility is to safety. This institution is an equal opportunity provider and employer.
The end of that. Chatting with Rob McClelland, listeners. Rob is the new pro, a club pro at Oakview Golf Club up in Slippery Rock. Talk a little bit about Oakview in the olden days when you first started playing there. It was still Armco Country Club back then. Has the course changed a great deal from the way you remember it when you were younger?
I don't think it's changed a whole lot. I know when the new owners first took over in 04, they messed around with some rerouting the holes and changing them up. But, you know, Jesse, you know, one of the things he did when he started was went back to the original, changing one and two back.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right, because when the new owners took over, they made
number three, I think, was number 16, or, you know, they redid it where number three was 10 and you started on the back as number one,
and you ended up with 17 two. And 18 were number one and number two.
Yeah, so that was, they were trying number one and number two. Number one's probably their best starting, you know, hole on the golf course, you know, long par four.
It's toughest, I think, or one of them, for
absolutely.
Sure,
absolutely. So they were just trying to get that towards the end of the round. But, you know, starting on 10 now, which is, you know, everybody knows number 10, then you have a par three number 11. And, you know, if you did it on three and four, you know, it's tough when you have that par three as a second hole. It starts mm-hmm. to back things up where, yeah. you know, sticking with the route it is now is the right game plan. And, you know, it's hard starting on that hard hole, but it's much better for pace of play.
I agree. Plus, get it out of the way. there's a movement in golf, even among some of the top flight professional courses where the touring pros play. To have a one or two short par fours, or at least move the tees up for 1 or 2 days to give them a chance to, you know, high risk, high reward. And some of those guys, the way they can bomb it, they can almost drive the green. Oakview has a hole like that. It's number 10.
Yeah.
It's a short par four, but you need to place your tee shot very carefully, or you're not going to be able to. Not only are you not going to be able to get to the pin, you're not going to be able to get on the green.
Yeah, number 10, downhill, you know, they do have mm-hmm. The trees on the right kind of overhang the green. And, you know, if you can hit it 300 yards, you can get it on the green. You know, another one that you don't think of is number 3, you know, that dogleg left.
Yeah,
you know,
same thing.
Wow. I've seen some guys when the tees are back, you just hit it down the road with a little cut. And,
really?
And it's actually shorter than number 10. It's probably only about 260.
Well, that's a bold move because you're, in effect, aiming out of bounds. And hopefully you cut it.
Yep.
Well, that, you also have to hit that over those trees.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was always my dad's favorite hole because he was left-handed, so he could slice it around the corner.
Mm-hmm. That was the hole, too, that had a periscope.
Yeah, still does.
I think made out of Armco stainless steel. It looked like something that someone out at Armco had, you know, dreamed up. Yeah, because it's a blind green, and you could look through the periscope and see if the way was clear to hit.
Yeah, I think the trees have grown so much. I don't know if the periscope looks over the trees or not. They put a bell down there in the corner that you can ring and let people know that it's clear.
Mm-hmm. They have removed a few sand traps in recent years. Which I can understand, and that made some of the holes a little bit easier, at least. Number 8, they took out a big trap next to the green.
Yeah, in the front of the green, there was a big trap in front of the green there on 8 that they removed.
Mm-hmm. And one of the traps on the hole we were just talking about, number 3, they took that out too.
Yeah, they had a couple on the left, and, you know, one of them was, you know, kind of short in the rough, probably 40 yards from the green, and I think just you know, not much in play, you know, for that short of a hole, you know, so they probably removed that one too.
A lot of golf clubs are facing financial difficulty these days. A lot of strictly private clubs, in fact, some of them have gone completely out of business, several in the Pittsburgh area. Others are struggling to maintain their membership roles.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, golf is it's time consuming. You know, I mean, you know, for it's you know, a lot of people, you know, would be members of the club in the past, and they just when they go golf and they'd be there for the day. And nowadays, it just seems like, you know, families with kids, you know, kids are in so many different sports. You know, I know, you know, I have two kids that are 9 and 11. It seems like we're running them all the time, but. You know, it's hard to, you know, get away for, you know, 4 or 5 hours to find time unless you get your kids involved.
Well, you're lucky to play at many clubs in 4 or 5 hours. We can usually do 18 at Oakview in 3.5, 3:40.
Yeah, that's what's nice about, you know, Oakview is they do. The pace of play is really good. You know, I mean, if you go to a just a regular public golf course on a weekend and you try to, you know, squeeze in somewhere, you might be out there for 6 hours. You know, you know, I got stuck playing, you know, one time last year in a tournament. I think we were over at Cranberry Highlands, and it took me a little over seven hours to play my round of golf, and it's just not enjoyable.
Oh, no, absolutely not. That's murder. Yeah, that's murder. A lot of expense in operating a golf course that people don't realize. There are diseases that can attack greens, and that's a disaster.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You got the, you know, weather. I mean, you know, look at our start this year. I mean, you got to – it's so much weather permitting, you know, and a lot of the weather can cause the diseases. And, you know, just the maintenance of maintaining. You know, they have 185 acres up there at the golf course, and just, you know, maintaining that. And, you know, we were talking about bunkers. You know, bunkers are a major expense, and trying to keep them, you know, on a daily basis up and running, so they're good to be playing.
Keep them full of sand, keep them draining well.
Yep,
all problems. And then, of course, you have watering concerns at some golf courses. That's not a problem at Oakview, but if you get into a prolonged drought, then you're worried about having enough water to keep things green, things growing.
Absolutely. That's why, you know, some places, you know, they have watering systems just for the fairways, you know, just to kind of keep the fairways and the greens, you know, alive. But, you know, like you said, unfortunately, they put a new pump house, you know, not too long ago up at Oakview that they tie into the Slippery Rock Creek there. And, you know, there's no water problems at all. They have as much as they need.
Jesse Horner, when he took over as general manager, started a program of no-mow areas, in particular spots. If you stray too far off the fairway, you're in a no-mow. They just let the natural vegetation grow all year.
Yeah.
I find that interesting and good.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of that gives you that fescue look with the high grass. And, you know, if you take a lot of areas that you let go, you know, you can save some money in your budget, you know, for mowing. You know, it takes time to mow all those acres, you know. And a lot of those areas that they have, you know, saves you hours and hours every week of not having to mow.
Don't have to mow it, don't have to water it. But woe be it someone who puts a ball in there. You want to stay out of the no-mow. I tell you what, just talking with you, Rob, I'm ready to go out and tee one up in the parking lot right now just to hit one, just to swing a couple of times.
Absolutely, me too.
Have you had a chance to go south and play a little bit during the winter? Or?
Oh, yeah, this winter I was in Port St. Lucie. I go south, and they have some tournaments for the local club pros, you know, for the PGA of America hosts some winter tournaments and winter series. So I got to play a couple weeks in December, came home for Christmas, and then went back down in January, February, and played 3 or 4 events.
Most golf pros do that. You have to keep your game fine-tuned as well. Well, Rob McClellan is at Oakview now, and as he mentioned, if you're joining us a little bit late in our conversation here, Oakview, a lot of folks think that Oakview is a private course. It's semi-private. There are memberships, but it's also open to the general public for daily green fees, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Anybody can, you know, make a tee time online on the website, oakview.com, or just call the golf course and, you know, set it up. You know, they're running, you know, some specials now in April. Get lucky. It's, you know, walk 9 holes. It's only $11, I believe, is what they're running. And I think Jesse's doing a little promotion all summer on Mondays, $30 with a cart. You know, you can't find that anywhere. When prime time, it's 60. So all day Mondays, $30 includes cart. You know, that's a great opportunity and a great promotion, and he's going to be running this year.
And for a limited time, season memberships are also still available.
Yeah, absolutely. Season memberships, you know, $7.95 for an individual, and you know, kids 13 to 26, best deal around, $345. Play as much golf as you want.
But don't dilly around on that one, because that's for a limited time only. Rob McClellan, boy, it's good to see you here. Nice to talk a little golf. Nice to talk a little bit about Oakview. Nice to talk a little bit about your career as well.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. It's nice being here. And like you said, just having the Masters and talking about golf is getting me excited about playing again.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. Rob McClellan, nice to have him here with us today. Coming up on tomorrow's program, you're talking about all this warm weather coming. Yeah, that'll be golf weather, but it's also allergy season with all the pollen and everything. We'll talk about some ways to help folks who suffer with that or to prevent that. Jonathan Valentino from Instituto Pharmacy will be with us.